This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
What is KCATA's new CEO's vision for our regional transit system? What direction will he take KCATA? And just how safe is riding the Metro? Find out today on Radioactive Magazine on Transit Talk. I'm Janet Rogers of Transit Action Network. We're a Kansas City regional transit advocacy group fighting for riders, improved and expanded transit, and the cost-effective use of public money for transit. If you want additional information, go to our website at transactionkc.com. I'm speaking with Joe Reardon, the new CEO and president of the Kansas City Area Transportation Authority, and Sam Dessoux, KCATA Vice President of Operations. Welcome to the show. Joe, most people are familiar with you as Mayor Reardon of the Unified Government of Wyandotte County in Kansas City, Kansas. You were mayor for 8 years, and you've always been a big supporter of transit in your community and regionally. Then you returned to your law office a couple of years ago. So why did you decide to enter the public arena again as CEO of KCATA?
Well, thanks for the question, Jen. It's great being with you today and being with your listeners. I was enjoying my life as in law practice, I've got to tell you. It was wonderful, and this was not an easy decision, but there were really two reasons that drove me to really pursue this opportunity. One is a firm belief that transit is a key component to this Kansas City region, both today and in its future. And to be able to affect that in a positive way was extremely exciting to me. And the second reason was because I'm just a big believer in the Kansas City region. And I think if we want to be the region that I believe we can be, then transit becomes so essential to really growing this region into something remarkable. It's already a wonderful place. I love calling it home. I love dwelling in it every day like so many other people do. But I see its potential too. And I think so much of it's tied to us getting together collectively and working on efforts that can raise the whole region. And what better effort is there in that respect than a transit system that truly connects people across this region to one another and to opportunities? So it's an exciting opportunity for me. And so while it was a tough decision to leave the law practice and the folks that I've known for really, my entire life, professional life, this challenge is one that's really exciting to me, and engaging in it has been very rewarding in the short time I've been here already.
Well, you've already been here for a month, but that's not very long. I know the first few days you were on the job, you and your staff went out and rode the buses. So you weren't really a newcomer to transit. So what did you learn on those excursions?
Well, not only have we done some good dive-in deep tours of some of the system, I'm a regular rider as well, so I rode in today, and I'm learning stuff every day on the system. And number one, it's remarkable how efficient and effective it is and what it does today, which is fantastic. But I also was at the 10th and Main Street Transit Center this morning, and they're laying new track out front there, and saw how difficult it was for our bus drivers to get in and out, and pedestrians having a tough time. So those are the very real-world challenges that are out there every day for the good people that put this system in place and make it run every day, and also for those that rely on it every day for going to and from work or to whatever that might be. So I'm learning a lot about that, but at the end of the day, I think what's really impactful when you're out in this system is obviously complex, it's physical, it's mechanical, but at the end of the day, I think the fundamental part of the system is it's about people. It's about the people that provide the service. It's about the people that are interacting with the service, that are using the service to get to those things that are essential for their day-to-day life. And that's had a huge impact on me, and it makes it very real. I've told some of the drivers and operators that are here that one of the things that I realized early on in coming to this job is, as far as a public agency is concerned, we interact with the public more than nearly anyone. Thousands of people every single day are interacting with our system and with our drivers and operators in a very real way. Some of those relationships are ongoing. I mean, some of our drivers know folks on a day-to-day basis. So our connectivity to people in the region is really rich and deep and wonderful. And when we're able to do that in a way that helps them get to what they need to make life better, that's when we're succeeding.
Well, I really like what you're saying about KCATA and also your attitude toward transit and toward the people who do ride this system, because I think that kind of an attitude is really needed to take on this job because it's very important to the community. So how will KCATA be different going forward? What should people expect to see?
Well, one of the things that I think is important for, and I think some people are, most of your listeners know this, but so many in the region don't realize the original charge for what we call KCATA, created back, you know, in the mid-1960s as a truly bi-state agency composed of representatives from Kansas and Missouri for transportation throughout the area. That's our charge. It's been there for a long time. And I think, you know, I firmly believe that what we do today is a central function, but tomorrow it's further integrating this transit system in a way that it becomes seamless for the user, easier to use, and more comprehensive in the way that it reaches out far beyond the core and into all the surrounding communities of Kansas City. And so much of that good work's already going on. I mean, the commission and the staff have done such a great job of forming new relationships, for instance, the one with Johnson County, and further integrating the functions of the system for the user. There's more opportunities like that. That's exciting. I think bringing people together and raising the awareness of the importance of transit to the future of Kansas City, whether you're a user today, potential user tomorrow, an employer, someone that's concerned about what the city's future might be, transit's an important part of that. And I want to make sure we're raising that dialogue, that there's an awareness and a conversation going on around transit as really a core function of Kansas City. And some of that's already going on. That's what's exciting. I mean, you know, your listeners know, and many that are interacting with our system and are aware of what's going on in Kansas City. There's a lot of excitement around transit in Kansas City right now, and maybe even a new willingness to approach transit as a true opportunity for the region. I want to even heighten that more, because I think we're just at the very beginning of that. So it's about a seamless system that we work in partnership with everyone in the region to make work. And it's about raising the awareness and the effort behind transit as an essential function for Kansas City. And what can we do to make it better and more robust? And I think we've got tons of opportunity there.
Yeah, well, Transit Action Network has always been a big supporter of seamless transit, because as an organization that works for advocating for riders, that's one of the hardest things that we've often had. And so we are seeing some good things happen, such as you just announced that their day pass is going to be available to use on all four different transit systems starting May 1st for the local routes, not the commuter routes.
Correct.
And that, I know, was not an easy thing to happen. That's taken a lot of time to even get there. And so we are seeing a lot more regional cooperation.
And I agree with you completely, and it was not an easy thing to get there, but I think it happens when we start to talk in a common way about what the goals are. And if we, in a common way, talk about the goals as a seamless experience, as a more robust way to connect people, as a system that truly functions in a more integrated way, if we can start there and we all put ourselves in that place, then I'm a firm believer we're going to find the opportunities to make it happen. And I think that's the day pass is definitely evidence of that. RideKC.org, the website, the introductory website is up and running now, so your listeners will be able to go out and interact with it. But building that website into a single resource for a rider to seamlessly determine how they can use the system to get from one place to the other is exciting to me. And I think that takes a level of cooperation that perhaps hasn't been there in the past, but it is there today to build a system like that. So not just functionally on the system, but in the way that you understand it on the internet, we're going to have a different way, a more integrated, a more robust way for you to do that. So those are exciting opportunities.
Well, a month ago when I interviewed Cindy Baker and Dick Gerald from KCATA, they were talking about RideKC.org, and it's good to hear that website is up and running now. It's RideKC.org for anyone who wants to go out and use it, and it's a place where you can actually go and do all your transit planning in the whole region in one place now.
Right. So the first iteration of the site won't have that function to it, okay. But later this summer into the fall of the year, it will have that trip planning function that will be for system-wide trip planning function that will be up and running. So we're working on the back end of that trip planning functionality, but it will be coming soon. But the website's up now, and you can kind of get a flavor for where we're headed and what it all means.
You know, one of the things you also talked about is KCATA's original mission, and how we are moving toward that. And it's one thing that people, I think, need to realize is we've always used the Metro and KCATA interchangeably as though they were just the same thing. But KCATA is starting to realize that larger mission now, because now it's not just the Metro and the MAX, but you also manage the Joe. And so when you talk about the Joe, you're also talking about KCATA. So people have to think differently, and it's not just the one thing. It's already a bigger umbrella.
Right. And I think Ride KC as a theme or a brand will help that understanding of sort of encompassing all the great partnerships and the relationships that are out there. They all come under this one brand, you know, this one place that allows people to connect to opportunity. That's what we're about, and I think that's where we're headed. So
that's great. Well, I know you've been a long-term transit advocate, and the Kansas City Star recently named you one of the 100 most influential people in Kansas City. So we look forward to you influencing and improving transit in the region. I want to bring Sam back into this conversation. Sam, you've only been with KCATA for a few years, and you came in as the head of bus operations. But most people in the region still don't know you. So can you give us a little insight into, like, where you got your previous transit experience?
Well, Janet, thanks for having me today, along with having both Joe and I. My background started in transit back in 1995, and I worked with three different properties up in the Washington State area. And I have over 21 years of transit-related experience that I was able to bring here to Kansas City. I feel very fortunate to actually be here.
Well, we're really glad to have both of you at KCATA and look forward to watching how you implement the new KCATA vision. I want to shift gears now and talk a little bit about safety and riding the bus. A couple of months ago, I did a show with several people who were car-free in Kansas City. And one was a retired lady, her name's Sarah, who mentioned that she rode the MAX late at night, including going home after the opera at the Kauffman Center. We talked about how safe the buses were in a well-lit downtown quarter, and I thought it'd be good to have a show about the safety realities of bus riding instead of some of the stereotypes, because I feel if Sarah can ride the bus late at night, surely most of us can ride it during the day. Sam, soon after you arrived here, there were a couple of fairly violent incidences on the bus, and that's really very rare. And you were tasked with making sure that KCATA had the best safety training and procedures. So can we start with just looking at where do we fit in terms of transit agencies, in terms of nationally, where would we rank in terms of safety?
Well, Janet, let me start by saying, let's put it in perspective. Last year alone, we transported more than 16 million passengers on our buses. And we had reported to us only 95 incidents of assaults on either passengers or operators. But let me be real clear. One incident reported was one too many for us. However, when I first joined the Metro, I was tasked with putting together a safety task force that comprised of both operators, also supervisors, managers at the organization, and then we reached externally to people out in the different communities to look at the different situations that were going on some of our buses as they were coming in and out of the downtown area. And what we did initially is we came up with about 60 different solutions that we vetted very well. We looked at the negative and positive impacts of those solutions, and we ended up implementing five immediately. And the five were that we addressed was increasing our police hours, our police presence out there. The second was bringing conflict resolution training to the Metro, which we're getting ready to kick off here next month that I'll talk about in more detail. The third was looking at putting safety partitions as a trial on our buses to be able to protect some of our operators in unfortunate situations. And then the fourth thing was really looking at our rules, our regulations, our policies, and revising them to where they're more effective to let our customers know exactly what the rules are of riding a bus.
Okay, that's quite a big task that you took on. And how's it going? I mean, really, how do we rank kind of nationally in terms of safety?
Nationally, we're very safe. Looking at it from a national level, larger systems, they look at anywhere between 3 to 4 assaults or attacks on either operators or passengers on a daily basis.
That's a lot.
So I feel that our system is very safe.
Yeah, so how does it compare? Like, you were in Washington. What transit agencies were you with there, and how do we compare?
Yes, I served with Pierce Transit in Tacoma, Washington, and also with Community Transit in the Everett, Washington, Seattle area. And we compare it to Tacoma, Washington. We're a lot safer here with situations on our buses versus the Tacoma, Washington area.
Yeah, what about Seattle?
Seattle, we're about even.
Well, that's good, because a lot of people look at Seattle and places like Portland like that as being, you know, really good transit areas. And so it's good to know that we're about the same kind of level, because we're about the same kind of size. One of our biggest safety challenges, I know, is how we deal with assaults against operators. Because if the bus operator's having a problem, then that can endanger everyone who's on the bus, and even people off the bus. If something happened and you have an uncontrolled 27,000-pound vehicle. So what are you doing to minimize those operator assaults? I mean, you were starting to talk a little bit about partitions.
So according to the Transportation Research Board, normally situations occur when the operator is either enforcing the rules of the organization or enforcing a fare collection. And according to that research board, those were the two areas where the situation actually escalated at. So what we're doing coming up next month, for the month of May, we are the first transit agency in the United States that's bringing in a team from Rutgers University, and it's from the National Transit Institute to provide us what's called conflict resolution training. And this training is going to provide to our operators on how to de-escalate situations. When someone come in and escalate a situation, the driver will be given information on how to de-escalate it to not let it evolve into any type of situation that they need to encounter.
Boy, having a escalation minimized is really important so it doesn't get to be a problem. So I see that as very, very important training. And you said we're going to be the first in the country to get that.
We will be the very first in the country.
Well, it's good to know you're right out in front. And really, to put it in context, we don't have that many actual operator assaults a year anyway, do we? Out of that 95, about how many of those would be against operators?
Last year, for 2014, we had 19 operator assaults.
Yeah, and I understand a lot of those are even things like spitting on an operator.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Most of our situations last year was spitting.
Which is a lot better than somebody getting really physically hurt. But it's still an assault. And as a result of that, I understand you've got new Missouri legislation in the works, too.
Staff over the last several years have been working really hard to move forward with this legislation. And we just were informed last year that currently now, if an operator is assaulted, it's treated as a misdemeanor. And that is based on how much time from prosecution that the assaultant receives in the situation. What's going to happen going forward in January of 2017, it will now be a Class C felony if a operator is assaulted. And will receive, if they're convicted, they'll receive more time if a ruling is against them that they assault and operate.
Well, that's really good to hear, because I know you had to work several years to get that legislation in place, and that'll help all of the transit agencies in Missouri and St. Louis as well. So that's really good work. You are listening to Transit Talk on Radioactive Magazine on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I am Janet Rogers with Transit Action Network. You can find us at transactionkc.com. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. I'm speaking with Joe Reardon, the new CEO of KCATA, and Sam Dessoux, KCATA Vice President of Bus Operations, about the future direction of KCATA and about safety on the buses. Joe, did you want to jump in here and talk about how you see safety issues in terms of KCATA?
Safety is paramount. As Sam said, it really is job number one for us, and to have Sam and his team and the collective efforts going on to address safety on an ongoing basis is extremely critical. One incident is too many, as Sam said. I'm also struck by the fact at how safe it is to use public transportation. So while we're treating all of these issues with extreme care and being as aggressive as we possibly can, using public transportation in Kansas City is one of the most safest ways to get to and from somewhere, and to be able to provide a really safe and also pleasurable experience for our riders every single day is very much stands at the core of our focus in what we do. When we do that well and we're able to communicate that well, I think it helps us in trying to grow the system even more and to get more people actively involved. So it is job one for us, for sure.
Yeah, and I know that you work closely with the Kansas City Police Department. You actually have police riding the buses sometimes, don't you?
Yes, we have up to 40 off-duty Kansas City police officers that work directly for KCATA. And we have a budget that's in place. And we have anywhere between $150 to $175 of service per week.
That's a lot. That's great for people to know that there are police that are probably pretty close at hand. And what other measures do you use? I know that you have video recording on the buses now, too, don't you?
Yes, we have 262 buses, and all of our buses are equipped with video cameras. And it's a piece of technology that's worked very well for us. And also it provides that safety net for both the operator and the public. We're able to dial up any situation that occurs out there. We're able to pull tape and dial up and go back and take a look at the situation.
Yeah, and let me say that that's critical. Not only is it, as Sam says, is it somewhat of a deterrent at times, but that videotape can lead directly to identifying and then ultimately prosecuting someone that decides to carry out some kind of an act on our buses. And in fact, it has proven to be very instrumental in that exact way. So to have that system-wide, I think, is an added layer of security and accountability that's extremely important, critical to our riders and to our operators.
And I know those violent acts that happened right after you got here, those cameras were used to help apprehend those people.
Absolutely.
And so that's been a great asset. In fact, I understand that you can even pull the audio sometimes if you need to.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, that's good, because there are sometimes that's the kind of situation that you have. Well, I know we want people to understand that there are safe precautions in place, but I really want riders to understand what is it that KCATA and the police want riders to do if a situation would happen.
So what we want riders to do in this case is to be courteous in the situations that they're dealing with. And if they see something that they see that they're uncomfortable with, please notify us immediately so that we can get assistance out there. But be courteous, treat everyone with respect and dignity, and hopefully we don't have those situations occur.
Okay, so let's say I'm waiting for a bus and there's a panhandler. Somebody's asking me for money. You know, be courteous, make your choice whether you want to give people money or not, but keep it as low-key as possible so that nothing escalates.
Yeah, as we interact with people every day in the city, if we use common courtesy as the starting point, I think that's where we all ought to start. Unfortunately, sometimes you interact with people where, you know, courtesy is not reciprocated. And if things escalate, then we definitely want you, if you're on a bus in our system, let the driver know immediately. If you're out among the public, bring authorities to the table as quickly as possible. We will help do that for you in those circumstances. But we want to make sure that things don't escalate. And if they start to escalate, then we want to make sure that we have professional trained folks that are there to interact in that situation and to de-escalate that situation.
Well, I know there was one thing that happened with a friend of mine the other day, and it's one of the reasons I also wanted to talk about this, because she really didn't know what to do. She's new to riding the buses, and so, like a lot of people, she handled the situation on her own. She's got onto a bus, and she loves riding the bus, by the way. She says it's just been a great addition to her life. But a man came over and sat next to her, and he started some sexual harassment. He said some very lewd, nasty things to her. And she asked him to stop, and he didn't. And so she then got up and moved. And women have always basically had to do that. But I told her that, you know, she really didn't understand that she had more options than that. That it's actually against the law, any type of harassment. For instance, Missouri law, it's under Chapter 565, the harassment code. And that's for anyone who knowingly makes repeated unwanted communications to another person or uses coarse language that would be offensive to the average person and put you in a reasonable apprehension of physical contact or harm. And currently it's a misdemeanor, but like the assault law on bus drivers, in January 2017, harassment is going to become a Class E felony. And so I told him, well, you know, you really should have gotten up and reported it to the bus driver. And I contacted Sam, and Joe, you should know this. I sent Sam an email. It was a Saturday night that I found out about this, and I expected to get an email from him Monday morning. But he saw and responded right away. And Sam, what did you tell me that she should have done immediately, and what would have happened, and what should she have done now that it was a couple of days later?
Yeah, immediately inform us. Let the driver know exactly what's going on. The driver will take actions at that moment there, informing the dispatch to let dispatch know, who will inform his superior or her superior to get law enforcement out at that location. Also, what we would have done in that situation was pull the tapes, identified the suspect in the situation, turned all that information over to law enforcement, and had law enforcement investigate, see if we can apprehend the individual.
Yes, because I think people need to understand, if someone's having bad behavior with you, they're probably having bad behavior with other people too. And so you're really doing everybody a service by reporting that and not letting it just go and getting up and moving to another seat, because that doesn't stop that type of behavior. And one of the main things I told her is that KCATA doesn't tolerate this behavior, and that they would be very helpful in helping her to overcome the situation. So I hope in the future that not just women who are harassed, or if someone else has an issue, that they do tell the driver right away. But even if they think about it later, you can always pull those tapes and see if the situation can't be resolved. It's really very rare that you have issues on the bus, and people should really understand how safe it is. And I want to reinforce that it's really safe to ride, especially in well-lit areas. One of the most dangerous things we do all the time is ride a car. So between car accidents and car theft, drive-by shootings, carjackings, road rage, we're fooling ourselves if we think that riding the buses are more dangerous. A bus driver even has radio contact to get police if needed. If there are areas of town where you wouldn't want to drive, you might not feel comfortable taking the bus either. But if you're happy to drive in an area, you can probably take the bus there too. So give it a try. I want to thank Joe and Sam for talking with us today and sharing this important transit information. I'm Janet Rogers with Transit Action Network, and you can contact me at transactionkc@gmail.com. Our next transit talk on Radioactive Magazine is June 9th. Thank you.
You have been listening to Radioactive Magazine, a presentation of KKFI 90.1 FM in Kansas City. Radioactive Magazine provides a forum for activist groups and activists in the greater Kansas City area. If you would like to propose interviews, contribute commentaries, event notifications, etc. to Radioactive Magazine, call Dan Connolly at 816-217-5875. Thank you for listening.